and welcome to an extra special episode of Good Copy, Bad Copy, because it's episode 50! I bet that peaked horribly, guys. Hopefully without fire alarms due to the cake that we had earlier. I'm Emily King, Radix's content marketing manager, and I'm joined by Fiona Campbell-Howes, founder and lead copywriter at Radix Communications.
Hello.
And Radix's creative director, David Maguire.
Hello, and congratulations.
Oh yeah, so what is special about this episode? Oh, well, you know, other than the fact that it's the 50th episode of a podcast that's been going for quite some time.
And I think we should perhaps take a little moment to reminisce about some of the places that this podcast has been recorded from.
What, like under tables?
Under tables. We used to build a cardboard fort every time
we recorded
the podcast.
Was that the pod yurt?
We had a yurt.
Yes.
the back of your car.
Back of my car.
Back of my car.
Your car.
My son's bedroom.
Yes. All in the quest for audio that might not, you know, make your ears bleed at all. But in this episode, we are hoping to give you, with the help of colleagues, friends, fellow B2B copywriters, marketers and content masterminds and the B2B copy chat participants, 50 copywriting tips.
50. 50 tips in one podcast.
Yes.
That's got to be the most copywriting advice-y podcast ever.
All the tips.
All the
Every
tips.
Every single possible one.
Can we possibly do that in a half hour-ish podcast?
I think it's doable. We might be over our usual running time by a little bit, but I feel like we will be safely under 3/4 of an hour.
Goodness me.
That's what I'm hoping. We are sorry that we couldn't share any of the cake that we bought to celebrate this episode, but we hope you enjoy the fantastic advice we've brought together. Just to point out that some of the advice is general to copywriting on the whole, and some of it is kind of like format specific or sort of situational specific. It's a broad match, but it's all really, really useful advice if you work in B2B copywriting or you're a marketer that needs to do some copywriting. It's really helpful stuff.
Yeah, just basically in about half an hour's time, you'll be a much better writer than you are now. Guaranteed.
We are not guaranteeing this. We are hoping this is the outcome.
Okay, asterisk, probably.
If you have any questions or comments about this episode, please feel free to email us via podcast@radix-communications.com, or you can try tweeting us @radixcom. And don't forget, if you like this episode and you don't want to miss future ones, you can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or your preferred Android or PC podcast player via the links in the show notes. Okay, it's time to begin the countdown.
Number 50.
I'm Sophie Reynolds, Operations Director at Radix. Forget what your English teacher told you. Starting a sentence with and or but is not only totally allowed, it's actually preferable in many cases. Starting with a conjunction helps keep your sentences short, makes your writing punchy, and it's a great way to catch your reader's eye when deployed at critical points in your argument.
Number 49.
When you're writing about something everyone else is writing about, you can still make it fresh and relevant for your audience by using stories, quotes, and anecdotes that other writers haven't used. Bringing your copy to life with real people's thoughts and experiences makes it more enjoyable to read. Sharing other people in the same situation as your reader can create a bond of empathy.
48.
I'm John Kerrison, and I'm a copywriter and content lead at Radix. Technical talk is all well and good, but it needs to be saved when you've already generated interest. Talking about how many gigawatts your flux capacitor needs to operate is only interesting to an audience if their entire future is at stake.
Number 47.
Threes rule in writing: beginning, middle, and end. Stop, look, and listen. See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. Use threes to hammer home your point.
46.
My name is Jamie Thompson. I'm a copywriter at Brand New Copy, a copywriting agency in Edinburgh. My favourite copywriting tip is to produce skeleton drafts. A skeleton draft is essentially an outline of how you intend to structure the copy. They're really good for ensuring that the overall idea is in keeping with what the client had in mind, and they can be a good way of reducing the number of revisions needed after the first draft as well.
45.
Never start a piece of copy stressed or anxious. Go get some fresh air, have a wee, and get yourself a cuppa. It doesn't matter what order. A mind under unnecessary stress doesn't tend to enable great copy.
Number 44.
Remember that humour often doesn't translate across cultures and languages.
43.
To write a good ebook, you need to be relevant, direct, and human. Make an emotional appeal, give the designer lots to play with, promise value, and deliver.
42.
Having trouble getting your words out to begin with? Then don't start at the beginning when you're writing long-form content.
41.
Hi guys, my name is John Aspirian. I'm a freelance technical copywriter based in South Wales. My favourite copywriting tip is to build a picture of your ideal reader. That's what I call a pen portrait, but others call it a buyer persona or a customer avatar. And I think that none of the so-called rules of copywriting are of any real worth, unless they lead to text that resonates with the intended audience. So my tip would be, forget about the rules and forget about you and think about them. It's all about them, really. Good luck with your 50th episode. Thanks for putting together a great podcast.
Number 40.
Okay, that was 50 down to number 41. Your first 10 tips. So far, so good. Number 40, Emily, is you. What have you got for us?
Okay, well, it might not save trees, but printing your writing out to edit it can be far more effective than looking at it on a screen, you know, to help you catch errors, fully phrased bits and stuff like that.
Great. So now we've got the next 10 to come. Here we go.
39.
Writing a video script. Your marketing video, like any story, should have a strong narrative. And for the most part, that will be a condensed version of the three-act structure you find in films, novels and plays.
Number 38.
Shelley Lucas, B2B content marketing consultant, says when writing marketing emails, be prepared to spend as much time or more time writing subject lines as the email itself.
37.
Hello, my name's Lissa and I'm the catalyst of disruptive innovation at Head Forwards. My best tip would be know who you're talking to. There's actually an NLP technique that I sometimes use where it involves taking yourself from the situation and watching another person, which is you, speak to that other person and moving around in these free chairs and really picturing how it feels to be the person that's been talked to, be the person that's actually saying it. So put yourself in the place of the brand and put yourself in the place of the customer and really think how you can convey this message and, you know, sell the benefits and captivate them in an emotive way.
36.
Hi, I'm Amy and I'm the Senior Account Manager at Modern. My biggest B2B copywriting tip would be to be specific and back up your claims and your content. A B2B audience is quite different than a B2C in many cases, and often they require more convincing about what you're saying. Make sure you do this early on in your content, using real statistics and figures from reputable sources, say where the sources are, and use practical and easy to understand examples where possible to make things that a little bit easier to digest even still. Once people buy into you, they'll engage with your content.
Number 35.
Keep in mind when you're writing for account-based marketing, your reader knows their stuff. So if you can't convince them in your copy that you're an expert in whatever area you're writing about, it'll get ignored. Do your research, interview experts, account managers and sales reps. These are the people on the ground with the intimate knowledge of these accounts. Make sure you use them.
Number 34.
Plain English isn't a less sophisticated way of writing. It's a clearer way of writing. Use it.
33.
Happy 50th, good copy, bad copy. This is Matt Turner from Writers. My tip might help if you're struggling to find the right voice for a business or brand. Find a commentator, writer or celebrity that feels like a close fit for tone and style. Then simply type out their words. It really helps etch their voice in your head. Language, rhythm, vocabulary, sentence construction, all of that. This approach also works for brands where the guidelines are complete bollocks. Just find a few decent examples from any existing material, their website or some emails maybe, and start typing. If tone of voice is a pair of shoes, this approach lets you take them off the rack, put them on, and stroll around in them, rather than trying to guess what they're like to wear from afar.
Number 32.
Even a wall-to-wall text block is visual content. It's read with your eyes. That's why subheads and dashes and stuff are so important.
31.
Jeremy Reynolds, the Oxford Word Barber. When you write, make just one point.
Make one argument throughout your communication a spine that runs from start to finish. Establish this key dynamic before you start and craft everything you write in line with it. Any message that doesn't align, lose it. If it's not contributing to the main point, it's getting in the way. Just send one message.
Number 30.
Well, that was tips 40 down to 31. And now here at number 30, it's you, David.
Great, thank you. I guess my top tip is for most things that you write, you want to be writing three ways. You want to give a version that makes sense if somebody just glances down the page, a version that makes sense if somebody scans, does sort of a 20-second read, and then the version that makes sense if they read in full. And all those things need to be happening at once. The way to do that is to make sure that all your headings, all your subheads and the call-out boxes, wherever they look, they summarize the content that's around them rather than just describing it. So don't say features, make your subhead say what the features mean.
Number 29.
I'm Chloe Tidy, Senior Account Manager at Radix. Use semicolons in your copy. The semicolon grants you the power of nuanced expression. It lets you keep two ideas separate while signalling that a strong link exists between the two. It also grants you the power of overt erudition, which, if you're writing for the scholarly brand, might be exactly what you want.
Number 28.
Hi Radix listeners, I'm Paul Hewitt, I'm Planning Director at Earnest. Here's my writing tip for you. Just remember, you're never writing for yourself or the brand that's paying you. You're writing for the reader, a living, breathing human being. And if you think what you've written is distinctly boring and average, they sure as hell will. So rip it up and start again.
27.
Clients will often push back against the good stuff, and you'll have to learn to not be hurt by this.
Number 26.
When writing case studies, be thorough during customer interviews. The material you gather from the customer will dictate how much or little you can achieve at your keyboard later on.
25.
Put yourself in the reader's shoes. What do they actually have time for? Will they really sit and do a 48 question self-assessment questionnaire? You need to find the right balance between the value you're offering and the time it takes the reader to get the value from the piece.
Number 24.
When writing for the spoken word, forget about standard punctuation and whole sentences. Remember to tell clients you're doing that on purpose. Make it easy to read, visually as well as physically. Use lots of punctuation marks, anything that makes it easier to get the sense first time it's read.
23.
If you're facing an impending deadline, don't melt into a puddle of self-pity. Groaning and facepalming may seem cathartic, but it won't change the fact that time waits for no one. Take a second to take stock of the resources, time and knowledge you do have, and prepare to write by getting an outline done. Then get to it.
Number 22.
Hi, Adam from B2B Marketing here, and my biggest recommendation for writing great copy is to remember that a lot of these topics are quite sort of difficult to convey and quite obtuse. So always be willing to take one more risk than you immediately think of. The brands that will take the most and cut through the most noise are the ones that are the boldest and the bravest, and particularly the ones that have the most conviction and confidence in what they're talking about. So don't be afraid to move a little bit outside your comfort zone and just go for it. Cheers.
21.
Hello, I'm Laura Sutton, and I'm the content writer at Yellowfin Analytics. My favourite piece of copywriting advice is to remember that the product or service you're selling is not the hero of your story. Your customer is the hero of your story. And the product or service they use is simply a tool to overcome their challenges. And therefore, become the hero of your story. Your customer, not your product.
Number 20.
Okay, that was 30 down to 21. We're getting very, very close to the top 20 now. And that starts with you, Fiona, in at number 20.
Right, so my tip at number 20 is don't get so hung up on the act of writing that you forget about the act of reading. So I always think the best writing is writing that's effortless to read. It doesn't feel like reading when you're reading it. And as a writer, that means using the right rhythm, it means using the right cadence, it means packing packing it full of interesting things to keep people interested in reading. And it means that once you've written it, read it through as a reader and make sure it's just as easy and as effortless to read as possible.
Number 19.
Hi, my name's Mark Nicholson from Mark Nicholson Copywriting, and my favourite writing tip is a very basic one. Watch your sentence length. Shorter sentences are easier to read and absorb. Try not to go above 25 words. Start worrying if you go over 30. But if you really need a longer sentence to make your point, go for it.
18.
As Fiona and Celia Anderson once pointed out on B2B Copy Chat, jargon has its place, but it shouldn't be marketing guff and should not sound woolly.
Number 17.
Need to write engaging content about something you think is boring? Anna Gunning, freelance copywriter and content strategist, says to remember, there's that copywriting adage, the product isn't boring to the person whose problem it's solving.
Number 16.
Hello, I'm James Henry. I have written for Green Wing and children's television like Bob and Builder and Hey Dougie and stuff. It's quite a dialogue-y sort of point. If you are writing in someone else's voice, whether it's dialogue or even just writing in like a character's voice, don't be afraid to talk aloud using that person's kind of rhythm and speech, and just say, even if it's complete nonsense, say something in that person's kind of voice, because then it goes back into your brain through your ear and the rhythms and the tone sink in much better. You know, it's a really weird thing. It's like it's out of the brain and then back into the brain, and then you can write with that voice in mind. It's a strange thing.
Number 15.
How do you know if your copy is any good? You need to ask yourself these five questions. Is it free from obvious mistakes? Did I have to read anything twice? Does this ring true? Who cares about this really? And is this extraordinary?
Number 14.
This is Carlos Hidalgo, CEO of VismCX. My tip for writers out there is to write from your audience's perspective. Too many times we as writers get caught up in trying to share our great ideas, what we think is interesting, what we want to sell, what we want to promote. And in reality, what we need to do is be writing with our audience in mind. What is interesting to them? What is important to them? What do they need to hear? And what information do they want to receive? And if we can do that, we'll be better writers, we'll have better engagement, and we'll really please our audience with our writing.
Number 13.
Victoria Cawthorn, digital content manager at Silverbean, says the most important part of a good landing page is a bold, clear headline that confirms to visitors they are or aren't in the right place for what they want.
Number 12.
Hey guys, it's Lauren from The Content Type here. My favourite writing tip, something that my old cadet counsellor used to say when I was first starting out as a journalist in Australia, he would get up in front of us all and say, never assume, it makes an ass of you and me. Not really a G-rated one, but hopefully it is fitting for your 50th episode. Congrats on the milestone, guys.
Number 11.
My name is Sean McManus, and I'm a freelance copywriter specialising in technology. I found that humour can be a great way to connect with readers. To find the funny side in even the driest topics, look for common misunderstandings or mistakes. Those are the kinds of things that readers will relate to, especially if you can use characters to tell that story. Readers might not laugh out loud, but they'll be smiling with you, and they'll feel like you're on their side.
The top 10.
Okay, we're about to enter the top 10 copywriting tips.
Of all time.
Oh, yes, of all time. That we've managed to gather into this single podcast episode. Actually, have we given any weight to these over others? To be fair, I think they're all equally as important, but you know, that maybe that's just me. I want to say thank you to everyone who sent in tips for us for this episode, and to B2B Copy Chat participants over the years who have helped provide us with many of the tips we've used in this episode.
And all the listeners.
All the listeners. Wonderful people who've put up with us and varying. Some of you have been with us a long time and have dealt with the varying audio quality we've had over the years.
Come with us on our wonderful journey.
So, shall we get on with the top 10?
Yes. top 10.
Here they come.
Number 10.
Hi, I'm Jason. I'm a marketing manager at Modern. My number one B2B marketing copy tip would be to have the final buyer or the reader in mind when pulling the copy together. That can be anything from buyer stage in the journey or industry they work in or experience level. And just to make the call to action really clear throughout the copy as to what you want them to do.
Number 9.
Pete James, Bray Leno. The lesson I had to learn is how to stop trying to write well. Good copy is not an end in itself, it's a byproduct of good intentions. So forget the cunning puns and satisfying one-liners. Just do what it takes to connect with the audience. Tell a story, be persuasive, provocative, make them laugh, make them think. Focus on the writing and you won't do the job. Focus on the job and great copy just happens.
Number 8.
Hi, I'm Leif Kendall and I'm a freelance copywriter and I also look after the Pro Copywriters Network, which is an association for copywriters of all shapes and sizes. It's tricky to pick one copywriting tip, but one thing I think is really important for any copywriter is curiosity. Especially when you're talking to a client, when you're learning about their products and their audiences, it's essential that you ask lots of questions, all the questions, even the questions that seem stupid. The most interesting and useful bits of information are often hiding behind these stupid questions. And sometimes we fear looking stupid in front of clients. We want to look like we know what we're talking about. We want to look like we know their business. But really, it's not your job to be the expert. It's your job to be curious.
Number 7. Exciting now.
My name is Andy Lynham. I've worked for 7 years up a mountain at the far end of Lake Zurich, where I'm a content manager with a gigantic logistics company. I'm often asked for writing tips, and the simplest non-technical advice I offer is this: always allow what you think is your final version at least one night to marinate, because however delighted we are with our first draft, when reread the following day, errors and improvements magically appear where previously there seemed to be none. So that's my advice. Before you can feel really comfortable with your latest pillow of perfect prose, you must sleep on it.
Number 6.
Hi, I'm Richard Collett from Diffinet Digital, and I've learned that the quality of copy is generally inversely proportional to the quantity of exclamation marks used. Or, to put it another way, we ain't got time to be sheltered at.
Into the top 5. At number 5.
Hi, my name is Ben Lloyd, and I'm a freelance copywriter trading under the name TechWrite. You can find me on Twitter as TechWriteUK. I use a lot of facts, figures, and quotes to spice up inbound marketing content for my clients and to give it some authority. Some of that stuff is so good it can be used again and again. But when you want to use those stats, you have to search through your documents or try to drill down through your Google search history. And often you simply won't find those details before the project deadline. So my B2B copywriting tip is this: set yourself up some kind of searchable database to keep track of these useful facts and where you found them. If you can tag each link with a subject, that's even better. You wouldn't believe how much time you'll save on the research and inspiration stage for your future content projects. You will also become a subject matter expert in the process. Personally, I use MediaWiki, the same technology that powers Wikipedia. It can be a little technical to set up, but it's very powerful and 100% free. If you're setting up a facts repository for the first time, however, a simple spreadsheet is enough to get you started. And here's a bonus tip: record anything that catches your interest as you surf the web or read your email. You never know when it will come in useful.
Number 4.
Oh hey, happy 50th podcast. My name's Honor Clement Hayes, and I'm the head of copy at Ingenie, a car insurance brand for young drivers. My whole life is getting understandably suspicious young people to trust us so we can help them improve their driving. And that's all about language. No 21-year-old is going to think we're okay just because we say we are. It has to be a top-to-toe attitude. So my tip for any copywriter is to get as close to your audience as possible. Go where they hang out, research their passions, and understand their language. And if you honestly give a shit whether they live or die, even better.
Number 3.
Here's Harry Kapoor of Velocity Partners.
All right, so the thing I find myself saying to
copywriters more and more is trust your skepticism, or sort of trust the part of your gut that doesn't quite buy what your client is selling. And follow that gut. If something feels like it's untrue, if something feels like it's not really believable, that's valuable information. That's the job, is to have a sense for those kinds of things, and to trust them, and use that to influence whatever the content is in front of you, whatever the story is in front of you. Because chances are, if you're feeling skeptical about something, your reader is too.
Number two.
My name is Louis Fernandez. I'm the country manager and vice president of Bazware UK and Ireland. My top tip for great copy is: the more complicated your subject matter, the simpler your language needs to be.
And here it is, number one.
Hi, this is Maureen Blandford, and I'm CMO at Software Improvement Group, and we're headquartered in Holland. The best advice for me regarding the writing work that I need to do, because I am neither a great nor even a very good writer, I'm a capable writer and I have to do a lot of it, but it's not enjoyable for me. So Anne Lamott's 2 points, I always try and remember to make myself do it, is just get your butt in the seat, just make the time to do it, and it's all about the crappy first draft. Do not wordsmith, don't try too hard in the first draft, just get it out there and then revise. And that works for me.
Well, that's 50 copywriting tips. I think we're hoping brains aren't aching too much at this point.
Don't know about you, but I'm exhausted.
Well, yeah, you were doing all the announcing. Yeah, that.
I have to reveal that was me.
Oh, no.
You could have pretended that was a professional voiceover dude.
I mean, you're not a professional voiceover dude.
I'm all in between doing
all my writing here. Yes, I moonlight.
I'm all for transparent marketing, you know, some transparency. Yes, David's our announcer. But thank you to everyone who's listened to this podcast since it originally launched as Radix Copycast in 2013. And that is all we've got time for in this episode of Good Copy, Bad Copy. We're going to have a blog post to accompany this episode, like a separate blog post with all of these tips.
Every single tip, every single person.
Yes. Everyone named, nobody shamed, because it's all awesome. We'll be back to what counts for normal for us for episode 51. We're going to be talking about how to handle B2B jargon. And if you want to chat about how to handle B2B jargon, you can actually join us for an edition of B2B Copy Chat on that same subject on the 4th of July.
Hashtag B2B Copy Chat.
Hashtag B2B Copy Chat. That'll be running from 1 till 2 p.m. UK time. And don't forget, if you like this episode and you don't want to miss future ones, you can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or your preferred Android or PC podcast player via the links in the show notes. And as ever, if you have any questions or comments, feel free to email us via podcast@radix-communications.com. You also tweet Radix on Twitter @radixcom, and you'll find our website at radix-communications.com, where you can also sign up for a monthly email for latest copywriting tips and insights.
50 episodes done! Woo!